Welcome back in the Morning Blitz. Boji Wood along with Mike Bernard from OTM Sports. We're talking a little college football. Of course, we just talked the selection process and the final four semifinal matchups. Clemson, Notre Dame down in the out in Jerry's World in the Cotton Bowl, and Alabama, Oklahoma down in Miami in the Capital One Orange Bowl. Mike, let's look at some of the other bowl games that will be played, and where some of the people who lost on Saturday are going to wind up. First of all, Ohio State, I think that ended up the Rose Bowl, I think, is going to have a pretty good matchup. You've got the Big Ten champion Ohio State, and you've got the Pac-12 champion Washington. I think that's going to be a pretty good football game.
On paper, certainly, and you know me. Bowl games are all about motivation. As a handicapper, I'm going to look for the teams that are motivated, and ideally, if they're playing a team that mopes in. But Ohio State is one of those teams. They've been immune to it. Not necessarily immune, but they break the trend because sometimes when they get left out of the playoff, they still roll in the bowl game. You and I have talked throughout the year. Washington, they have three losses, but they're very solid defensively. But they have their work cut out for them because Ohio State's offense might be the second or third best for sure, no worse than third in the entire country.
And, of course, that's a matchup of top 10 teams with Washington and Ohio State going at each other. In the Sugar Bowl, we're going to have the loser of the SEC championship game, number 5, Georgia, and the loser of the Big 12 championship game, number 15, Texas. Now, we talk about motivation. After what both these two teams just went through, neither one may be motivated to play. This may be the most boring game of the year.
Yeah, and, of course, we'll know, you know, you and I'll talk more. And I'll give the listeners more of my opinion as we get closer because I can't handicap these games 2, 3, 4 weeks out. Mm-hmm. But my initial thought when I saw Kirby Smart is he talked about Alabama doesn't want to play them again, which he's probably right. How Georgia should have got in, they were disappointed. Then he left alone. But then he said, oh, yeah, but we're really excited to be in the Sugar Bowl. Mm-hmm. But are the kids, yeah. Okay? And are they excited to play number 15, Texas? Does Texas have anything left in the tank after playing with Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. You know, having the lead, tying it up. Mm-hmm. Do they have anything left in the tank there? So that's going to be a tough game to handicap. But hopefully both teams show up, and it should be an entertaining game.
Number 11, LSU, taking on the defending national champions, the University of Central Florida Golden Knights. They're ranked number 8. That's going to be out in the Fiesta Bowl. Central Florida, just like with last year against Auburn, they get another chance to prove that, hey, we're for real. We can stand toe-to-toe with SEC teams. However, I think Coach Orgeron, I think he's going to use last year's Peach Bowl final as kind of a motivation for that LSU team to say, hey, we better be ready when we go out here and play these guys because they're going to come after us.
Yeah, I think he'll try that. He'll use that, and he'll try that. But I'm not sure if it's going to work. You've already seen some of the top players, Devin White, another player said he's going. I don't think the players are going to be in for this game. And the point spread is going to be LSU 7.5 right now. Of course, it's early. I don't know if Central Florida can do what they did last year, but I played them plus 10 against Auburn last year for this very reason. I don't know if Coach O can get them, if he can get the Tigers motivated for this game.
Mike, one bowl game that, again, outside of the semifinal games, that I think is going to be the most interesting matchup and the one, and you know me, I don't like going to games, but this is almost one I would go to. And because it's in my backyard, it wouldn't be a long trip, but the Peach Bowl, number 10 Florida, number 7 Michigan. I think we're going to find out just how good of a motivator that Jim Harbaugh is. We always hear talk about, oh, he's a great motivator. He's this, because he better have this number 7 Wolverine team ready to take on number 10 Florida, because Dan Mullen, he's determined to make a statement in this bowl game that's going to help the number 10 ranked Gators catapult into next season in the top 10.
Well, let's go back a couple of years. I don't remember the exact year, but remember when Michigan had the bad spot against Ohio State and it knocked them out of the Big Ten title game and therefore a chance to play in the college football playoff. They went on to play a Florida State team that was down, and they were favored by – Michigan was favored by 7.5 and lost the game. I'm not sure if it's the same situation again. We'll have to see, and I'll get reports and see what, how the players and coaches are reacting. But I think you're right. I think Dan Mullen is in the position to say, hey, this can show we're elite, because Michigan is an elite team. They're a top 5-7 team as far as Vegas is concerned, and I'll have to wait and see. But that's a very good point. That is one of those games where you have to find out who's motivated more.
Mike, I think a game that is just going to have a lot of spotlight from East Alabama. Auburn and Purdue in the Music City Bowl up in Nashville, and that's on December the 28th. Gus Malzahn, of course, everyone knows that his contract was reworked. Some of his buyout was reduced in certain ways. They tried to put lipstick on the pig and make it look as pretty as they could. But basically, they told him, hey, we're either going to redo this and we're going to restructure it, or we're just going to go ahead and let you go. Well, listen, there are no jobs out there for Gus Malzahn right now. Now, again, $32 million, you don't have to work. But Gus Malzahn wants to be a football coach. He doesn't want to be fired. He wants to keep that Auburn job. And at 7-5 right now, and as I told someone on a show on Friday, I said, look, you know, I said, I hadn't coached on the field in years and years, but I could walk in to Auburn University right now and take the current team and the current coaching staff, and I could coach Auburn to a 7-5 record as long as I could have Liberty and Southern Miss and Alabama State on the schedule. And not just me. Mike, I think you could, and I don't even know if you've ever coached a day of football. But a 7-5 record with three cupcakes on there, that's no accomplishment. You don't pay $7 million for a 7-5 record.
Yeah, and of course, this is not an excuse. I'm not making an excuse for Gus, because, you know, I have – he blows my mind. I watch him run between the tackles against Alabama, have success more than 1 year, and then he stops. Mm-hmm. And so I have I have some concerns and issues with how he manages games, but at the same time, he's in the SEC West, and that is a tough division. And what Alabama's doing the last 10 years is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. And so that's a high standard, but I agree with you. I think Auburn should have been much better than 7-5, 9-3 at the worst.
Totally agreement with you there. Even in the SEC West, if you're Auburn and you have the tradition, you have the resources and the facilities that you have at your disposal, you're not going to dominate Alabama, and you may not even dominate LSU and Georgia. But you've got to stand toe-to-toe with those guys and beat Alabama, you know, just as much as they beat you. If you do that, it's like Coach Dye used to say, you know, we may not beat them all the time, but we're going to beat them as many times as they've beaten us. And if you go back and you look at from the time that Coach Bryant retired, and it's been that way. The series has pretty much been, you know, even Stevens as far as the game goes. Maybe only a game or two separating who's won the most and everything. But they're playing a Purdue team who is very motivated. And, of course, we saw what they were able to do when they start hitting on all cylinders versus Ohio State back in the early on in the year. They've got probably the most talented freshman out there in Rondell Moore. He is almost like a Kyler Murray at wide receiver.
I was thinking the same thing right when you brought him up. That guy is dynamic. I mean, he makes great. He makes Michigan, Ohio State players look silly. And he can go. And he's a little bit banged up, but he should be healthy for that game. And Jeff Brohm, he decided to stay and not go to his alma mater. And that says a lot about what he feels about this program. It also has, you know, give some indication of what he thinks about Louisville's situation as well. But this should be a good matchup on paper. I think Auburn, I don't understand why they don't have a top-tier running back right now, because they had all those 1,000-yard rushers. Mm-hmm. They're a pipeline to the NFL. That's what a lot of Auburn fans complain to me about. Mm-hmm. That's their biggest complaint. But I think Auburn played Alabama close in the first half. If they come out with that type of motivation, I think this would be a really good game.
And speaking of the Jeff Brohm Louisville connection, I actually heard that there was a interest in Gus Malzahn at Louisville. And wouldn't that be something if that happened this late in the process, after they've already renegotiated Malzahn's contract? Because the particulars have not been made public yet. But I'm in the thought process that if the buyout to fire him was reduced, the buyout for him to walk away was also reduced. So, again, I don't think that we're through with Gus Malzahn's soap opera at Auburn just yet. I think that's still got some scenes to play out, so to speak. Okay, Mike, any parting words of wisdom, anything that I haven't brought up that you want to cover?
Well, again, later on in the month, as we get closer to these games, you and I'll break them down. We'll go over the point spread more in detail, and I'll try to focus on the motivated teams versus the teams that mope into the games. I don't feel like we've talked about UAB enough this year. I want to mention the fact they're going to a bowl game. They're a conference champion. It's amazing. They didn't have a program. Bill Clark. Now, I know it was Conference USA, but look, Conference USA is not the bottom of the barrel. They had played good football there. UAB won it. They had to beat Middle Tennessee State. Coach, the week before, they had to play back-to-back weeks in their title game. In the regular season game, UAB had -1 rushing yards, a total of 89 yards. They turned it around, and they beat Middle Tennessee on their home field. And I just want to say congrats to them.
No doubt about that. Bill's done a great job there at UAB. Their facilities for Conference USA, I don't think there's anyone in Conference USA that has any nicer facilities than they have. It's not truly an indoor facility, but it is a covered pavilion, 100-yard pavilion they're able to work under, so the weather doesn't bother them or what have you. And they built a new operations center. I mean, it is a top-notch facility, but that is because of the leadership of Bill Clark. And again, we talked earlier in the first segment about Jalen Hurts and taking that script to Hollywood, and they would laugh us out of town. They would also laugh you out of town on Bill Clark and UAB.
Yeah, they really would, because I know that UAB didn't have to lose all their players. They didn't have the death penalty like SMU did. And remember, SMU was, well, they're still down today, but forever they were just non-competitive for 20 years when they did get their program back. And UAB was allowed to keep players and had some special provisions to where they could get transfers in. But even with that said, the fact that you can go in, and let's not forget, I mean, this UAB program, they've beaten SEC schools and Power 5 schools, and frankly, they don't have a lot of fan support in Birmingham. They don't fill up Legion Field, and maybe that'll change if they get the new stadium. But it's just an amazing story, and for all those kids that have been through so much, and Bill Clark and his staff, I just wanted to mention it before we got off the air.
Yeah, of course, they're going down to the Boca Raton Bowl. That's played on the campus of Florida Atlantic University. Lane Kiffin will be hosting those guys down there. But again, just the fact, forget the fact that they're conference champions, just the fact that they're playing in a bowl for the second consecutive year. But as you mentioned, they go after taking a beatdown. They go back a week later and beat Middle Tennessee State on their home field. But again, you and I've talked about this off the air many times. When I've told you that when I've been at lower division schools and we've stepped up our game and gone and played someone like for a money game, and then the next week come back and play somebody on our level, a lot of times you're so physically beat up, you just can't get it going. You don't have enough gas in the tank to play against someone that you should be able to stand toe-to-toe with and in most cases beat. And I think that's what happened to UAB. I think it took them a little bit of time to recover from that trip out to Texas A&M.
Yeah, both mentally and physically. And the mental part is underrated, as you know, not for you and I, but for most fans.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, we're going to let you run. But now we'll have you back on in the morning, a little NFL recap from yesterday. And then, of course, the Monday night game tonight, the Redskins and the Eagles, correct?
Sounds good. I'll get on a plane today, head back out to Vegas, and I'll talk to you from Vegas tomorrow.
That sounds good. Mike Bernard from OTM Sports out in Las Vegas. He's going to be with us again tomorrow. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on GameDaySportsRadio.com.